בשביל סוגי מורי ומי חברים, פמילי. Most of the people that I love in the world are in this room now. The Yeshiva Shamala, those who are sitting upstairs, and Yeshiva Shalmata. To thank all the Chaverim who worked so hard to put everything together, the shul. I want to thank my good friend Andy. He's so devoted to the shul. He cares so much and it means a lot to all of us. Really, the hardest thing is to speak in front of my wife, my father, because they know how unworthy I am to address the tzibur. So my father knows longer how unworthy I am to tell other Jews to change their lives and to suggest to become better when I myself haven't done that. But I want to. I sincerely want to, and I believe that everybody here wants to. My son, Lo Ben Yamin, told me a few years ago that he heard, and I mentioned this the other day by some Chavayim, that he heard by the Amshin of a Rebbe. The Amshin of a Rebbe is an exalted tzaddik, mamish. He's 10 fachim off of this planet. And the Amshin of a Rebbe was eating Erev Yom Kippur. You know, he hardly eats the entire year. He hardly has anything to eat. But Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. For those who don't eat the entire year, Erev Yom Kippur is a special time. A mitzvah to eat. And the Rebbe was eating, and it was getting late. Now, those who are familiar with Amshnov, the present Amshnov Rebbe, knows that he doesn't usually follow things when it comes to time. He lives in a different time zone, so Shachris could be at night, Mincha could be in the morning. He's going to Chasna. I was once waiting to see him at 3:45 in the morning, and the Sham said he should be back from the Chasna soon. Comes to the Chasna, goes to the Mikveh. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, even Amshin of the Rebbe has to go by the time, right? So the Chassidim were getting very nervous because it was going to be Kol Nidre. It was time for Kol Nidre. But how could they say anything to the Rebbe? The Rebbe's sitting there and he is nibbling. So finally they asked one of the older Chassidim to do something to stop this. So this chassid screamed out, "Rebbe, it's late. Rebbe, it's late." And the Rebbe took out his watch and he looked at it, and he put the watch down and he kept on eating a little bit. And after a moment of eating, having the last crumbs, so the Rebbe said that every Jew has to own two watches. It's not enough to have one watch. Everybody has to have two watches. One watch, when you look at one watch, the watch says it's late. It's late. It's too late. The other watch, the Rebbe says, when you look at the other watch, you have to see that it says on it, it says, "Du noch Zeit." There's still time. There's still time. The candle's still burning. There's still time. And as long as we have a breath of life in us, there's time. I want to talk about that mysterious world in between. This is Shpeit, this is Dunach Zeit. I begin every year with the words of our Rebbe, the Rambam. I forgot to say also to give thanks. There are Chaverim who are sponsoring this year. Lezer Blisko, Lezer Nishmas, his father, Chaim ben Eliezer, Nisham Shachman Eliyah, Simon and David Ambalo, Schus, it should be a Schus, if we shleim of Yisar Bas Malke, and Dvar Bas Chanetzivya, if we shleim of Yisar Shachal Yisrael. Aliza and Eitan Feldman, also a Schus, if we shleim of Menachem Mandes, ben Sari Rezel, and for Shalom HaVigdib, and Naomi Malke, if we shleim of Yisar Shachal Yisrael. And two other Chavarim, Lezer Nishmas, Chaim Naftali, ben Elio, Olav Shalom, the words of our Rebbe, the Rambam, in Hilchas Tshuva, in the seventh parak, the Rambam says this is based upon the Gemara on Shabbos on Kuflun Gimel. Lo'olam yira adam es atzmo ki'ilu naita lamus. A person should always see himself ki'ilu naita lamus. He should see himself as if he is on the verge of death. Because in truth life is very unpredictable, and a person could die, God forbid, at any moment, and he shouldn't be, God forbid, caught without being able to do tshuva, to leave this world. Therefore a person should always do tshuva immediately, always. He shouldn't say that when I get older in the future, I'll do tshuva. Shema yomus terem shayazkan. If a person doesn't know, he might die before he ever reaches that planned date that he circled on his calendar, you know, that 120th birthday when he planned to do tshuva. Person doesn't know. So from this, the Rambam is telling us that there is a perpetual chiyuv for a person to do tshuva, b'chol yom or b'chol zman. Every day of a person's life, every moment of a person's life, since one doesn't know what tomorrow will bring. This is mechayiv tshuva every moment. But then there's Gemara and Brachis, and Afheh. The Gemara Brachis is talking about a person who lo aleinu is suffering. The person sees that there is suffering that has come upon him, that has befallen him. He should look carefully into his life. Shenema, as it says in Pasuk, Nach b'sod v'achayluv v'nachkoyru, which we're saying every single day now. Let us search our ways. Let us inquire and search and find out what is it in my life that's wrong. So the person doesn't know exactly what it is. Yasa tshuva. Do tshuva. A tshuva. Shenemar v'nashuva ad Hashem. We shall return to the Rebbeinu of Nashuva Ad Hashem. What we see from this Gemara is that even though it's true, as we learned in the earlier Rambam, in the Gemara and Shabbos, even though it's true that there is a chiyuv for a person to do tshuva each and every day, in every moment, the mitzvah tshuva is upon us, still, there's a special chiyuv. There's a special obligation, according to Halacha, when a person is in a state of suffering, when a person tastes that poison of the Malach HaMavis in his life, there's a special chiyuv of tshuva. This special chiyuv of tshuva, we find a different time as well, on Yom Kippur. The Rambam writes in the second parak, Nechshuva, Yom Kippur Muzman Tshuva Lakol. Yom Kippur is a time for everybody to do tshuva. The Yochid, the Rabban, the individual, the community, Vukeitz Mechilu Shlich LiYisrael, is the end, the final opportunity. It's the last chance to do tshuva. It's the Tachlis. Therefore, everybody must do tshuva and to say vidui and to confess our averus in Yom Kippur. Means there's a new chiyuv of tshuva on Yom Kippur that's different from the chiyuv that we have, the obligation to do tshuva throughout the entire year. We understand why. And it's very poshut, and I'm not saying anything here alone. This is the simplest thing in the world. Throughout the normal course of the year and throughout one's life, there the Rambam says, Yira at Adam Atzma Ki'ilu Night Alamas. It's smart, it's good to see yourself as if you're going to die. Shema Yamas. Perhaps you will die. But when a person, Lo Aleinu, is going through suffering, when a person, Chas V'Shalom, is suffering, I'm not talking about a cold or a hangnail. But every Jew should be spared from those things also. But when a person has got to be going through Yisurim, suffering, scary things, so it's no longer Ki'ilu Hunayta Lamas, as if you're going to die. Because you can always give words of chizik to someone who's not well. The person is terrified. The person is worried about results from a test. What's going to happen? What's going to be with me? And you say to the person, well, statistics show that you have a good chance of survival. And it's only ki'ilu at the night alamas. That person in that situation is no longer in a state of virtual death or the fear of something strange or bizarre happening. A person who's got to be suffering feels that he's mamish dying. And there's a difference between virtual reality, even in our crazy world, when imitations are so real and so lifelike. It's not the same thing when a person is healthy and well. He's having a good time, he's living it up. And the Rambam says, don't forget, you might die. As the feeling of a person who's lying in bed, or a person who comes out of the doctor's office having received bad news. It's very different. Yom Kippur. The Rambam says in Yom Kippur, such a lashon, Keitz mechila uslicha. It's the end. It's that feeling of urgency, of desperation that comes with a person who finds that it's no longer a netiyah lamas. It's no longer that I might one day die. But this second, it's being decided. This second, the verdict is being handed over. And there's that horrible feeling of suspect. It's light. So let me now talk and try to explain how do we cross over from suspect to the world of Sizdunachsarit. That it's late, it's too late, to the world of this time. Zayin good, it'll be okay. I'm always so envious of people who can give practical, good aces to help other people. I'm not very good at that. Michlal, I'm not very practical. But maybe each and every one of you can draw out something practical and real from what I'm now going to share with you that comes from very deep inside of me. All we ask for, beginning this whole time, but especially starting tomorrow night at this time, we're going to be finishing Narav Mitzvah, that time. All that we ask for is Kosreinu B'Sefer HaChayim. Rabbi Shalom, we're asking you to put our names, write us in that book of life. L'man chilukim chai. We want to be in the book of living. We want to continue to be able to serve a God who is living. And we are telling you, Rabbeinu Shlalom, if you give us another year of life, we're going to try to make this year better. Our lives will be better lives. We'll serve you better. We'll try to give you more nachas ruach. And by the time Yom Kippur is coming to an end, we're still begging for life, for chassoyim, for chayim toivim, kol b'nei b'yisachem. For chassoyim, for chayim toivim, kol b'nei b'yisachem. Rabbi Shalom, seal, sign for good life. All of you, kinderlich. All of your people. So all that we wish for is life these days. Every pid, every tefillah is just life, life, life. Nachzai, more time to live. And that's why I was thinking it's so strange. Those last precious moments as the day of Yom Kippur winds down and the sun makes that little turn and begins to set, that we read one of the strangest and most difficult svarim in the entire Tanakh. We read Megillas Yonah, the book of Yonah by Mincha. And I was thinking how that Megillah, that Sefer Yonah, was so short. And the Baruch Shalom wants us to hear it, to daher it deeply, to hear it. These last moments of Yom Kippur, the time of Kates Mechilas, that book, that Sefer, has a heavy cloud of doom, of darkness hovering over it. It can almost be described as a death wish in the mouth of one of our Nevi'im that's repeated over and over. The Navi is running away. The Navi doesn't want to face, he doesn't want to face up to his responsibility as a Navi. We can understand that. The Navi runs away and he's caught up. He's caught up in the storm on the ocean. It says in Pasuk, V'yoyne yorad al yakasei asvina. So the whole world is falling apart. The storm is going to wreck the ship. And Yonah descends to the dungeon, the bottom of the boat. I'm sure there's some nautical term for that. I always prefer the army over the navy. He descends to the bottom of the boat. Vayishkov Vayiradam. He lies down and he goes to sleep. And the tzaddikim point out, of course, and other tzaddikim discuss this, that shechiva, going to sleep, I've spoken about this many times in the shul, going to sleep when everything around you is falling apart, the sudden drowsiness of the Navi indicates a terrible feeling of yeyush, of giving up. He knows. He knows why the weather has taken a turn for the worse. He knows exactly what's going on. And the Navi who's running like every man who runs, is Messiah. And as Rav Kook and other tzaddikim explain, his going to sleep was a form of suicide. I've spoken about this many times. In America, excessive sleep is the most popular form of suicide. Sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. The need for sleep. As I say this, some of you might be dozing off. That drowsiness of the Navi when when the world is exploding in front of his eyes, is nothing short of suicide. But of course, a Jew can't actually pull the trigger. So what does he do? He just goes to the bottom, he goes to sleep. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen, which he knew what was going to happen. For whatever reason, you know what happened? He was brought upstairs. And what does he ask for when he comes up? Su'uni v'hatiluni alayah. Just lift me up and throw me into the ocean. I want to die. I want to die. And it's a noble death, because I'm going to save all of you guys. But Lamaisa, it's still much stronger than a suicide note. Sa'uni v'hatiluni alayah. Lift me up and throw me into the ocean. When he gets to Tarshish, Vatakachna is nafshi mimeni. He begs Hashem, take away my soul, take away my life, ki toiv moisi michaya, because my death is better than being alive this way. I can't bear going on with this kind of a life. Toiv moisi michaya. I don't want to live. Because the whole Yom Kippur is, I want to live. Right? It's enough time. More time, more time. I want to live. And the Navi says, I don't want to live. Toiv moisi michaya. And the Nachamal again, what does he say at the end? Vayishol hasnav shalomus. He begged Hashem. He wanted to die. Toiv moisi michaya. My death is better than my life. I don't want to live. The time that he spent inside the fish, which is a favorite subject of artists, it looks like a lot of fun in a picture. But for a person who only deals with fish when it comes with crane, that is something which we can't even be masig what it means. And the Malbim in his parish, the Malbim's parish on the Megillah, from beginning to the end, is Hafna. But the Malbim says, Shekvar nigzar lav misa. The Malbim says, you can't live inside the belly of a fish. It's no such thing. You can't live inside of a fish. So his being there, the Malbim says, was because nigzar lav misa. It was decreed that Itaka should die. A Novi's running away from his Navur, and he says, kill me, I want to die. The Malbim says, you're going to die. And he goes into the fish, the Rosh takes him to this fish, and the Malbim says, Shekvar nigzar lav misa, Itaka gzeiras misa. It's a decree of death to be in that impossible place. So the Malbim says, because you can't exist, afilu shah achas, you can't live inside of a fish. So to Bechina, there was some kind of death that took place. And the Navi's wish, the Navi's request was somehow answered. So my question, and all of us have to ask, is this any way to come to Ne'ilah? Is this the right mood? Chasmeinu l'chaim. Chasmeinu l'chaim. B'sefer l'chaim. The book of life. To live. To read the story of the Navi who gave up on life. To read a Megillah that's filled with the darkness, the impending doom. So first we need to understand what Ne'ilah is. And listen carefully, Rabbi Yisrael, to try to listen. What is Ne'ilah? Now you can see why people in some places spend a lot of money for psicha for Ne'ilah. You know that? By the Satmar of Skusek and Leinu, this goes back already many years, they would give hundreds of thousands of dollars to give the Rebbe, to be mechaber the Rebbe with psicha for Ne'ilah, to open up for Ne'ilah, what that means. So simple Jews, we know that it somehow helps Panasa. So it's a good investment. What does Ne'ilah mean? Now we know that the word ne'ila means closing, locking. Linol esabelis means to shut, to lock something. That's the meaning of ne'ila. What is it exactly that's being locked at the time of ne'ila? What's happening? So the Yerushalmi in Brachos brings a machlokes amaroi. There are two views in the Yerushalmi of what exactly is meant by ne'ila. What is it that's being locked? What is it that's being closed, that's being shut? Yesh Oyman. There is a view that holds that it's ne'ilas sharei shamayim, that the gates of shamayim, of heaven, that until now are accepting all the crying and screaming and everything else, but now ne'ila is the time of ne'ilas sharei shamayim. The gates of shamayim are being closed, are being locked. That's one view in the Yerushalmi. And the second is ne'ilas ha'azara, the locking, the shutting of the gates of the Bis HaMikdash, of the Azara, that it's, we're finished with all the Avoida, all of the work, the complicated Avoida, Bis HaMikdash, it's Ne'ilas Sharei HaAzara. The gates of the Azara are being locked closed. So I think that that's telling us something. Maybe it means in the life of each and every Yonah in this world, and who is not a Yonah? Every one of us, whether your name is Yonah or Yoni or Yonis, or whether your name is Beryl or Shmero or Chayesh Brinson. Every one of us is a Yonah. And that's why we read Yonah at that time. In the life of the Jew who is running away from fate, who's running away from the prophetic voice inside of him, the Baskel, that tells him that he has to be a Jew, who's running away from the voice of Hashem Yisbarach, who's telling him that it's time to change, it's time to listen, it's time to be good, to obey. Everyone is a Yaina. There are two Bechinas. There are two Ne'ilas that take place in the life of the fugitive Jew, of the Jew on the run, of the Yonah of this world. There are two ne'ilas. There are two ways that doors are being closed, they're being shut, that create within a person this feeling of toiv moisi mechai, I don't want to go on with my life. I can't continue living this way. There are two ways that there's a ne'ila in a person's life. There is that which is called in the Gemara Ne'ilas Sharei Shamayim, where the gates of heaven are closing upon a person, the Yonah who's running away. What does that mean, Ne'ilas Sharei Shamayim? What does it mean? It means that, God forbid, in a person's life there are tragedies, there are things that we can't explain. There is that person who comes back from the doctor with a bad picture, God forbid, with a bad report. There's tzaros, there's machlis, there's lo aleinu, children going off, parents going off. There are physical things that happen that are unexplainable, all kinds of tragedies. When the person begins to feel that suddenly there is a door in my life that's being shut, that's being closed, and I have no way of continuing. I have no way of escaping this matzav that I'm in. V'tashlicheini mitzula b'levav yamim. The Navi Yonah says, I have been thrown into the Levav Yamim, into the heart of the ocean, of the storm. And there's a river, the water is circling me. All of the waves of your ocean are passing over me, are crushing me. And there are people in life who are good people and do good things, but things happen to them where suddenly they're caught up in a tempest, a storm. There are things that happen in life that are beyond their control. And they feel that there's an Ne'ilas Shara Shemayim, that somehow in Shemayim the gates are being closed and shut in front of me. That there's some sort of a heavenly force that's locking a door in front of me. Something that's beyond my control, that's shutting me off from my family, from my friends. When a person, God forbid, is sick, that feeling of unbelievable loneliness that we once spoke about, that none of my friends can understand, my family, everybody's sympathetic, everybody cares, but there's something that's being closed in front of me, and I don't know what to do. I can't open this door. So this is called Ne'ilas Sharei Shamayim, the view that holds that there are times that a person who is running from God feels all of a sudden that it's in shpeit, oh, it's late, and the doors are closing, things are happening out of control. I can't do anything about it. But then you have the second type of ne'ilah, the second definition of ne'ilah in Yerushalmi. Ne'ilas ha'azara, now you know, human beings close the door of the azara. That doesn't close automatically. They didn't have that in those days, you know, some sort of an electric eye. The doors of the azara were closed by human beings. What does that mean? What kind of a ne'ilah is that for the Jew on the run, for the yonah of this world? That means sometimes you have a person who, Baruch Hashem, everything is good. Everything is good. He's afraid to say everything is good. So he spits, he laughs. Look, everything is good. Everything is good. Family, Hashem, Parnasa, Baruch Hashem. Everybody's healthy, Baruch Hashem. So what's the ne'ilah in this guy's life? Everything's good. So what's the ne'ilah that he's experiencing? This ne'ilah, Rabbi Yisai, is man-made. It's not a storm that comes from heaven, a hurricane. It's not a car crash. It's not. It has nothing to do with growths or tumors, God forbid, in a person's body. This is when a person all of a sudden recognizes the filth of his life. He all of a sudden is able to see honestly and truly the dirt, the ugliness that he brought upon himself. He shut his own doors. There's no doctor that closed anything in front of him, some force from heaven. This person is a person who's responsible for the ne'ilas ha'sharim, for the locking of the gates of his life. Because suddenly he's able to see clearly all the pain, all the agnes nefesh, the tzar that I brought upon my wife and my children. Ach, I was always so sure of myself. Everything was right, everything is good. People look at me and they say this is a perfect person, a perfect life. And my wife doesn't tell anybody the truth. My friends, my closest friends and family are able to keep a secret. And then there are the secrets that even my wife doesn't know, even my friends don't know, even my family doesn't know. Their face, who knows what a person does, what a person looks at, what a person thinks about, what a person does. But he knows and he believes that there is one who sees. And because of that, he knows that he's brought terrible, terrible pain to the lives of people who don't deserve it, to the lives of people who are good to him and who love him. And he's brought pain to the Rebbeinu Shlomo who created him. And he becomes totally broken when he realizes that he shut these doors. He shut himself the doors of holiness. He turns on machines when no one's looking, and he turns off Kedusha. He turns on Lashon Hara and he shuts off Tefillah, Davening. He turns on Yetzer Haras and he turns off Yetzer HaTovs. And suddenly he feels like Yonah. And he says, "Achsuni v'hatiluni al hayam." You know what? I have nowhere to run anymore. Just pick me up and throw me into the ocean. Throw me into the ocean. Toiv moisi mechaya. Toiv moisi mechaya, because my death is better than my living this way. I can't face it anymore. This person who suddenly faces the darkness of death, the inescapability, inevitability of the end, and the impurity, the tumma of all that he brought upon himself. This person's life suddenly becomes colored with what Rav Soloveitchik called black despair. Let me read to you from something that Rav Soloveitchik shared with the entire world. It's hard to believe. Those who saw him, who were zeichet to learn a little bit from him, I can't call myself a Talmud, but I sat in the room, I tried to understand, and I was in awe, more than in awe. We were absolutely, completely terrified of him. Terrified. And this is already when he was softer. But we were terrified. This time of the year, he would sometimes share certain emotions, which, as you know, is difficult on a regular day for any Litvak. Just joking. But particularly for one who's a real McCoy. But we are zeicher that he shared with us certain personal things and stories of his stormy life, his amazing life. So in Ish HaHalacha, which is called Halachic Man, I don't like it so much. Ish HaHalacha. So he says this. My uncle, Reb Meir Berlin, who's also known later on as Reb Meir Bar Ilan. My uncle, Reb Meir Berlin, related the following incident to me. Once he and Reb Chaim of Brisk happened to be staying in the same hotel on the shore of the Baltic Sea. Reb Meir Berlin and Reb Chaim Brisker, Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, once they were staying in a hotel by the shore of the Baltic Sea. One fine, clear morning, he arose at sunrise and went out on the balcony there to find Reb Chaim sitting. So Reb Meir Berlin went out and he saw that Reb Chaim Brisker was sitting on this balcony at sunrise, his head between his hands, his glance fixed upon the rays of the rising sun, entirely absorbed in the aesthetic experience of such a glorious cosmic spectacle of the sunrise, and at the same time entirely bent beneath the oppressive weight, listen to these words, the oppressive weight of a soul-shattering melancholy and a black despair. Why? So he says that my uncle, Rav Meir Berlin, saw this. Rav Meir Berlin took hold of Reb Chaim's shoulder and shook it. Why are you so troubled and disturbed, my master and teacher, Mori Virabi? Is something in particular responsible for your distress? Yes, replied Reb Chaim. I am reflecting upon the end of every man, death. So Yosheva says about this story, only he could say it in such a way. Try to close our eyes for a second to see Reb Chaim sitting there, bent over in such a way, his head between his hands. beneath the oppressive weight of soul-shattering melancholy and a black despair. So Rabbi Yoshebeir explains, the man of halacha, isha halacha, enjoyed the splendor of sunrise in the east and the swelling sea in the west. You shouldn't think that the man of halacha doesn't enjoy, is not capable of enjoying the sunrise, the sunset, the beauty of the ocean. But this very experience, which contained in miniature the beauty of the cosmos as a whole, and the joy of sheer existence, precipitated in him despair and deep depression. Reb Chaim, who was the Ish HaHalacha, at the moment that he felt the glory of that sunrise, that very same sunrise, the Rav explains, brought about within him this feeling of despair and deep depression. The beauty and splendor of the world on the one hand, and the fate of man who can enjoy this mysterious magnificence for only a brief fleeting moment on the other hand, touched the chords of his sensitive heart, which sensed the entire tragedy concealed with this phenomenon. A great and resplendent world and man, few of days and full of trouble. The fear of death is transformed here into a quiet anguish, a silent pain, and a tender and delicate sadness. This is how the Rav imagined his grandfather on that day by the Baltic Sea. At the time of Ne'ilah Rabbeisai, after we closed Megillas Yonah, the Book of Yonah, each and every one of us, Yonahs in this world, can be filled for a moment if we're thinking, if we're in a real place. And I don't like to talk this way about these things, but we must, because this is the definition of what Ne'ilah is, of what this time is. It's no longer a Ke'ilu. It's no longer a Shema. I might one day, 50 years from now, die, 80 years from now, die. It's the black despair that sets upon a person as the sun of Yom Kippur begins to set. It's that feeling of self-consolf. Ein monos, I have no place to run. It's impossible to run. And the person sees before his eyes. If he's thinking, if he's feeling, if he's real, if he's a little bit of a Reb Chaim, he's able to see the Sha'arei Shamayim closing. When a person's, God forbid, not well, with his sorrows, the Sha'arei Shamayim are closing. It's the last few minutes of Yom Kippur. Or if it's a person whose life is glorious, but his own insides are miserable, and he sees the Sha'arei Hazorah that he's shut with his own hands, he sees that they're closing, they're closing. Then suddenly there's a tzalk and there's a scream of terror that rises from the depths of the Yonah of this world. And that scream takes the form of the words that we say in Ne'ilah. Psach lanu shar be'es Ne'ilah shar. Rabban Shalom, psach lanu shar. Open up this gate, be'es Ne'ilah shar, when I see it's the time of Ne'ilah shar. Psach lanu shar. The day is disappearing. The sun is setting. But the Zohar Kodesh says something that's absolutely, absolutely astonishing. But the Zohar Kodesh says on the Pasuk, Kilo Yirani Adam V'chai, everybody knows, the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see something of Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shalom said, Kilo Yirani Adam V'chai, you can't see me and live. So the Zohar says, Ha B'shas Misasai, when you're dying at the moment of death, Roah, then you could see God. Lo Yirani Adam V'chai, you can't see me, and go to shul and tell everybody you're not going to believe what I saw. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see and then go back to tell the Olam, right? The Rebbeinu Shlom says, no such thing. Lo yirani odom v'chai. You can't see me and talk about it and live. Habishas Misasa Raya the Zohar says, we learn from this pasuk, Lo Yirani Odom Echad, Habishas Misasa. But at the moment of death, then you see. That means, what Yonah, that means me and you, what Yonah was not able to see all of his life, all of the life of running, stopping off for an ashrei a little bit, stopping off for a benching, stopping off for a simcha. What the person is unable to see throughout those long, with God's help, those long years of running. Suddenly, at the moment of death, he's able to see. Habishas Misos Araya, you can't see God when you think everything is gewaldig and is going to go on forever. Then you don't see the truth, then you don't see God. Habishas Misos Araya, but the time when death is upon you, when the sun is setting, Raya, then you can see. So when it comes to that time of Ni'ilas Asharim, when it comes to the time of the gates closing, and you feel that I didn't daven, it was the whole Elul, the whole Slichus, the whole Rosh Hashanah, and now a person's real and he knows it does not do last year, I mean, why should I make it this year? Must be that it was okay last year. Here I am, another Yom Kippur. See that? But a person who's real and is at that moment of Nila, that business doesn't work anymore. That delusion, that lie, that fantasy. So now he feels that the gates are closing. This moment, Rabbi Yisrael, Ni'ila is a moment, not Ki'ilu. You remember I said at the very beginning, that the Rambam talks about every day of the year, you should see yourself as if you're dying. No. You don't see yourself as if you're dying. And that's responsible for our regular daily obligation to do tshuva. But then it says you don't feel that. You go out in the car, you think you're not going to make it home. You don't think that. So it's a ki'ilu. With a ki'ilu, we can manage. But when it comes to ni'ilas shari shemayim, ni'ilas azar, whatever it is. But when it comes to ni'ila, yom kippur ni'ila, when those gates are closing, the person feels mamish for the first time that he's come to this point inside of himself. He feels that he's mamish dying. It's not the same thing as I said at the beginning of the shmuz. It's not the same thing for a person to virtually die. As a person who, God forbid, comes back with that report, that bad report, chalila, from the doctor. That's shas misos emamish. You know, when a person, chas v'shalom, comes back and the doctor says you have just a short time left, chas v'shalom, the doctor says you have a short time left, he begins to see. Oh, he starts to see things he never saw. Suddenly, by ni'ilah, it's interesting. You know, Yom Kippur during the day, I guess if you ask different people, they'll tell you different times when they feel Yom Kippur's hardest. They're like 3:15. You know, it's like a funny time. Or you know, something like that. Some people say, no, that's already Akedah, because then I'm almost. But if you ask me, like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, that's the roughest time. But everybody has different opinions about it. But the truth is that even though during the day you might be hungry and you might be still lost in some Yonah type of fantasy, when it comes to those last few minutes of Ni'ilah, nobody's thinking about food. Maybe once the shofar blows, then that comes back. But when you're in Ni'ilah, you're in those last moments as you feel the doors are closing, all of a sudden, the hunger is narishkeit. All of a sudden you're able to see all my stupid taivalach, my desires, all my shtusim that I swore myself to throughout the entire year, all the nedarim of my year, all the kol nidgers that I make during the year, that this is the most important thing in the world. This is what gives life meaning. This is what I have to do. The person spends 90% of his time with phone calls, buying and selling, and this and that doesn't have that. When it comes to ni'ilah, even if his biggest client would step into the room and say, hey, He wouldn't say, you know, I'll talk to you. It's not Rishkan. The whole thing is a child's game. The person the whole year doesn't see, you know why? Because the whole year you're alive, and you're always going to be alive. You're immortal the whole year. You're untouchable the whole year. When it comes to me, when the doors are about to shut close, and God forbid you're about to die, you feel that you're dying, it's your last chance. When you feel that, then suddenly you begin to see, and just like Yonah, you know that you have to cry out, you have to scream, and in the Ilah, that's the scream of Psach Lamusha Beis Milashah. Rabbi Shalom, open up for me a gate, as the gate is closing. And here, in one of Rabbi Yoshebe's Mamorim, there's a maimah that's called in English the crisis of human finitude. I don't know what he called that in Yiddish, which is how he said it. I didn't know there's such words like that in English, let alone in Yiddish. So Yoshebe is talking about what Dovid HaMelech said, V'ani Tfilo. I am Davin. V'ani Tfilo. I am Tfilo. And there Rabbi Yoshebe talks about different types of tfilos. And Tfilo La'oni, there's a special Tfilo that Dovid HaMelech said, the davening, the Tfilo La'oni means the Tfilo of the poor person. And Rabbi Yoshebe writes the following. Prayer, davening is warranted and meaningful. When is davening meaningful? Only when one realizes that all hope is gone. Then a person for the first time in his life davens. When everything's going to go on and be just fine, it's hard to daven. Lo yirani odom v'chai. You can't see me when you're alive. You can't see me when you're filled with the confidence of eternal life. So when is davening meaningful, Rabbi Yoshebe says? Only when one realizes that all hope is gone and there is no other friend besides Hashem from whom one may expect assistance and comfort. When the soul feels its bleak despair, loneliness, and helplessness, the ne'ilas sharei shemayim, the ne'ilas ha'azora. However, if one is not haunted by anxiety and brute fear, if one does not look upon his existence as a heap of debris, of garbage, if his self-confidence and arrogance have not been undermined, listen, if your self-confidence and arrogance have not been undermined, if neither doubt nor anguish assails his mind, then davening is alien to him, and any recital of a fixed prayer text is meaningless. Success and davening, impudence and davening are mutually exclusive. You never davened your whole life to the moment that you're dying. To the moment where you feel the malhamavis breathing down your neck, you never davened. Or the neck of someone that you love. You never daven. Lo yirani odom v'chai. Davening is not davening. The tefillah la'ani, lifna Hashem yisrael seicho, means to be haunted by the anxiety and by the fear of what of the gates closing in on you. Davening, the Rav says, is as a personal experience, as a creative gesture, is possible only if and when man discovers himself in crisis or in need. That's when davening is davening. Lo yirani odom v'chai. Habishas misos haroye. And that's why only when a person experiences what the Rav calls in this article the depth crisis, he feels a crisis, and he's able to admit and to acknowledge that all that he built in his life with such confidence, and he thought he knew, and he thought everything exactly is going to continue the way that he wanted it to, and everything is going to be planned out the way he wanted to plan it, everything's going to work out just the way he thought, just like last year. When the person comes to that closing door, the depth crisis, then he begins to scream, to open Ribbono Shel'olam, Psach Lanu Shar. I understand, I'm dying. This gate that I thought was my gate, it's nothing. It was a lie. This gate is being closed, but Ribbono Shel'olam, Psach Lanu Shar, Be'eith Ne'ilah Shar.
opened up for me a new life, a new gate, a new way of life, a new chance, based in the Elah Shire as the old gate, as my old way of life is shutting in front of me, as the Malach HaMavet stares me and grins at me. Open up for me a new shah. Therefore the vidui, the confession that we say, which is short by Ne'ilah, is different than all the other viduyim that we say from Erev Yom Kippur, from all the slichas of Yom Kippur and all of Yom Kippur. The vidui of Ne'ilah is different, because there are two types of viduyim. One type of vidui is a vidui where a person in a cold, intellectual way makes a cheshbon of mistakes that he's making in life. That corresponds to what the Rambam was talking about, that a person should see himself every day as if he could die. No, that's a very, very non-scary type of a day, and therefore that person's vidui on a regular mincha, a regular shachas, a mincha during the year, even during slichas, that vidui is a vidui that corresponds to the tshuva of the entire year that the Rambam was talking about. The tshuva of the entire year is ke'ilu, as if you're going to die, shema, you might die, do tshuva, yoymechol of me, and he says like it says in Parag. Those are the viduyim of the entire Yom Kippur. But when it comes to Ne'ilah, it's a short, brutal vidui Ne'ilah. When it comes to Ne'ilah, that's not the same kind of a vidui. Here it's a cry of terror. This corresponds to a person who's doing tshuva, tshuva that comes with the Yisurim that we spoke about at the beginning. A person who's afraid mamish of dying. A person who the doctor said, I'm sorry, there's no hope for you. There's nothing I can do for you. It's for Fallon. Go back to your family, try to spend your time in a good way. But here it's a vidui of Ne'ilah, it's a vidui of terror, of Ne'ilah's Hasha'arim. It's a vidui that comes to Hob and Shas Misal Saraya, of being honest. During the year, when things seem to be going on, a regular shachmas of vidui, a mincha vidui, he said, atanis, even slichas. The whole year you're living in the demyonis. Such demyonis that you can say, someone tells you of a feirish halach, you say, okay, you know, every halach you have to keep. A lot of nice people that I know rabbis that don't keep those halachas. Not to keep every halach. Someone says, you know, that's, you're not allowed to do that, that's an aveira. The whole year you play those Yona games, you know? It's all part of the running, part of the making believe. All demyonis. All narishkeit. You go to sleep, you had a time to learn, a chance to learn, you didn't learn, why? You learn tomorrow. So Rambam whispers to you, hey buddy, take a look in the Shuvah. I wrote this, Shema Yomus. You know, you might die tomorrow. You might die in your sleep. And you missed out, you didn't learn. Okay, buddy. Probably I'll be okay tomorrow. Probably. I feel fine. But that's, you can't do that anymore when it comes to Ne'ilah. When it comes to Ne'ilah, when it comes to Ne'ilah, Ne'ilah is that point where suddenly the oppressive weight of soul-shattering melancholy and black despair, that which the Rav called the quiet anguish, silent pain, and delicate sadness that Reb Chaim experienced during that sunrise in Russia. When that feeling descends upon the person, it fills the person with a certain dread and fear of death that Reb Chaim expressed to Reb Meir Berlin. And then just like the Navi Yonah, in the Levav Yamin, in the heart of the ocean in the storm, began in his own personal depth crisis, depth of the ocean and the crisis of near death. So then all of a sudden, the same Yonah who said, hey, Tiluni, Hissi, Lama, throw me into the ocean, I don't want to live. What do I have to live for? There's no tachlis. That same Yonah all of a sudden, Karosi Mitzarali, Yonah screams out, but Baruch Hashem, I call to you, Mitzarali, from this sorrow of my life, I call to you.
From the bet and from the stomach of the dark depths, I scream out to you. Shamata Kaili, Rabbi Shalom, I believe that even as the gates are closing of my life, I'm about to die, and now I see how my whole life was a life of running away from you, from the truth. Rabbi Shalom, you're still listening to me. And therefore, in that horrible grave that Yonah was in, the fish where the Malbim said you can't possibly live in the fish. What did Yonah discover there, Rabbi Shalom? Yonah discovered, and here's where we move from this state, from its late, this is Dunach Tzayin, that there's time. This is where we cross over. At that moment, when it dawns upon Yonah that it's the end, B'shas Misasa Raya, and he, for the first time in his life, I mean, he's a Navi, but in our lives, you begin to scream and daven for real be'emes. So all of a sudden, Be'es Ne'ila Shah, P'sach Lanu Shah, a new shahr is opened at the time that the old shahr is takeh shut closed. And the Malbim writes over there, the nefesh of ki'ilu noilat sheinis, Yonah being in the stomach of that fish, the Malbim writes about this, the Goyin and Ruchnis as a whole, Marochil, Yonah being inside the fish was like being once again an embryo in the mother's womb. The Malbim says, Nefesh of ki'ilu noilat sheinis, somlay Hashem teva ha'ubar. The Baruch Shalom made Yonah like an uber, like a fetus inside the mother. Well, you know that a person can't live like that, the way that a baby lives inside the mother's womb. A human being can't live that way. So what does the Malbim explain? That Yonah wanted to die. There's a Gzeira Misa. He couldn't live anymore. He couldn't live anymore as a fugitive running away. He came to Ne'ilah and he said, Baruch Shalom, I can't take it anymore. Psach l'nushah. The Baruch Shalom brings him back into the womb, closes off, shuts off his earlier life, makes him again into a fetus inside his mommy, and then all of a sudden, what? At that moment of death, all of a sudden Yonah realizes the Shas Misalsay, right, he sees that the Rabbi Shalom's face, the eyes are staring at him, just like when a baby's being born. When that baby goes through the ne'ila inside the mother's womb, and it's that moment of a new life coming into the world. And those who love the child are waiting and looking to see the face of that baby. And Yonah looks up now from this womb after Itaka died, because there was a ne'ila, and the gates of his earliest life, of the earlier time, and the earlier way of living, Taka shut closed. And now he says, Psach l'nushar. Then he sees the face of the Baruch Hashem, not a doctor. He sees the face of the Baruch Hashem looking with care, with loving, with longing for the new Yonah. For the Madura Kenyana, for the second edition of Yonah, of the Jew. And that's what we say when we sing to the Rebbeinu Shalom, just like Yonah was singing, we sing to the Rebbeinu Shalom in Hallel. Lo amus ki echya. I will not die, I will live. It's taka chasmeinu b'sefach, chasmeinu b'sefachai. Lo amus ki echya. Vas hape maasei kabir in my new existence, in my second existence, in my post-Ne'ila existence, I'm going to live and tell the story of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Vasaper ma'aseka. Yasor yisra nika. Because I went through this suffering, either through the suffering of Shari Shemayim shutting, or the suffering of the Shari Hazor, that I closed with my filth and narish kaitin. You didn't let me die. You gave me another chance. That's the hergus of joy, Matzi and Kippur, you understand? Pischuli Sharik Sadr. Psach Lamushar. Pischuli Sharik Sadr. You'll see. Avayvam. I'll go into this new gate, not the old one. I'll go through this new way. Avayvam oide kazah shah lashem. Sadiqim Yavoyuvai. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm saying, I'm not Messiah from being a tzaddik. I want to tell you that as the old gate closes, and I'm begging you to open up for me a new way, a new gate, it's not going to be the same life as last year.
It's going to be better. And I'm not disguised from being a tzaddik. And therefore I'm asking you, Psach Lom Shar, Be'ez Ne'il Ashar, Kipon Ayoyim, filled with the fear and the terror. I'm asking you for Psich Ne'il. You understand why it costs so much, Psich Ne'il? To have such a schus to open up, to make a psich at the time of Ne'ilah, what it is. To be a shliach for other Jews, to open up a new way of living at the time that the old way is being shut closed. And my boy said, you know how we see this in life when we come towards the Seif? You know how we see this in life? In a very, very pashut way, so maybe this is a little bit something practical. I was trying to avoid it, but maybe a little something. You have some people, the marshal, I'm giving a marshal. I don't know if it's negate to anybody here, a marshal. Whenever I say that, you know that it's negate to a lot of people. You have someone, let's say, that's a bachelor. You know what that means? A bachelor. A man about 10. And this person, we see sometimes you have a guy. He's a good guy. He's a nice fellow. He's a firm person, caring, he's a good guy. But all the girls are going, you know, where? There are a lot of guys like that. Shem was just waiting for the right, you know, shadchan. See, he had a guy that is mamish, a velt bachelor, an eligible bachelor. And he goes on like that, he goes on like that. This girl, I don't like the way that she opens doors. I don't like her taste in clothing or something like that. Whatever it is, different things. He always has an explanation of why, you know, it's not good for him to move on with his life. He says all the time, I really do want to go on with my life, but I just am not able to find the right person. There is such a thing. But the truth is, it's very, very rare. What's much more common that I've discovered over the years of talking to a lot of chavra, and I have no scientific way to back this up, just a hergish that I have of having spoken to many, many such young men who don't always remain young. The problem with a lot of these guys is that they don't know how to do ne'ilah. They don't know what ne'ilah means, which means they don't know how to close a certain chapter of life to say, Gemanu being a bacha, I'm finished being a bacha. So sometimes in that person's life, there's a ne'ilah shari shamayim. Somebody was telling me recently, an older person, you know, said to me, this guy that I really, really want to get married because I, my father is already not alive many years and my mother is already very old and I want to give her that nachas. So I said, that's a beautiful thing. But you know, you're such a shaita. I mean, you should do it. What are you going to do? You're going to wait longer? You're right. But you needed such an alumnus to come to. So now you're going to say, no, now you're going to overlook the girl's taste in ice cream. Right? Because now what? Because my mother, Sachmanis, I have an old mother. So I'm going to get married before my mother is 120. So now you're talking this, you're 70 years old. Now you're looking for somebody to get married. So you couldn't have a svara, until now you didn't have a svara to get married. Well, the Torah says that it's like that with everything in life, that sometimes the only way that you can open up a new shah is by closing the old shah. Sometimes if you don't want to do it, somebody else does it for you. Or the marshal. You have certain couples. They have couples that have problems with shalom bayis, it's not going well, and their relationship's deteriorating, and it's never gotten really horrible. It's just, there's a steady misery, you know? But it's a steady kind of misery. But at the end of the day, you know, somehow they can work it out. But then sometimes it comes in that relationship to a ne'ilah mamash. You know, he said the words, I never thought he would say such a thing. But she did something, I never thought she's capable of such a thing. Ad kam gamanu. I cannot go on with this. It's a ne'ilah, I'm finished with this relationship. If a person still has a little bit of a memory of the chuppah, a little bit,
And you're able to have a little bit left of that feeling. You're able to scream out, Rabbi Shalom Sachlam Shabba, Eis Ni'ila Shah. It's Davka at that time when there's a Ni'ila of your first way of being married, that if you seek help, and you really now for the first time in your marriage, you really work on it, it's possible that you can have a new Psiche Bizman Ni'ila, Psachlam Shah. When did that Shah open up for you? Be'ez Ni'ila Sashah. When it was the worst, when he hit rock bottom. When it couldn't get any worse, when it was a Ni'ila Shah, Shari Shemaim, Shari Azara. Sometimes you have a person that was, let's say, the wife wasn't so nice to the husband, the husband wasn't so nice to the wife for many, many years. And then one of them, God forbid, comes home with a bad report from the doctor. And they say you have only a few weeks, and all of a sudden, the words that wife wanted to hear for the last 30, 40, 50 years, now he's able to speak. Why? Because there's a Ni'ila Shari Shemaim, because the gates of Shemaim are shutting in on them. And all of a sudden, Psach L'Nushar, I'm so sorry I never told you how much I love you. I never thanked you for how good you are to me. So that's how it is in life. Sometimes the gates only open when the gates are shutting closed, when the old gate is shutting closed. And that's what I said, that's the Maisa, that's how a baby is born. Only when the baby has that patch, when the baby gets that patch from the Malach, right? When the baby gets a smack from the Malach, and the baby is thrown into that confusion, and the Torah is being forgotten, when it's in the Ilas Shah, he was very comfortable, just like that bachelor might have been comfortable in that early way of living. And the baby now is stuck in the black despair of a world that's closing in on him as he's leaving the womb. The process of being born. And he screams out, Sach lanu shah be'ez ni'ila shah. The happy-go-lucky life that I had inside mommy, it's closed shut. The Vayishlam is cutting me off from that. Sach lanu shah, a new life. That's how a baby comes into the world. The Gemara of Messiah that a lot of the Chevron know, Reb Zeira fasted, it says, 100 times. There's different gifts in the Medrash. How many times? He fasted 100 fast days. Why? To forget all the Torah that he learned when he was in Bava. Because he was moving to Eretz Yisrael. And he knew that in order to be able to have the new Torah in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, he had to be prepared to do what? To close the gate of the Bava Torah. And he davened that he should forget all the Torah of Bava. And then he davened again. I heard a term recently that I never heard before. I was talking to somebody else about getting married or something, and he said that he was enjoying his dating life. Did you ever hear this term? Dating life. There's a term that's apparently out there that's called dating life. It's Oyem V'Noyer that there's such a term called dating life. So he said that I don't see any reason to really right now, any urgent reason to go on, because his mother's not that old, so he doesn't have any reason to go on, because he's enjoying his dating life. So therefore, even though people don't always say these are funny lashon dating life, but you could have a bochur, you could have a nice young man and a nice girl, and they're going out, and they're going out, and they're on the phone a lot, the phone calls, and more pgishas, meeting each other, and then you have a new thing. I have lately, what's been happening a lot, is they go out, and then they make 100, lots of phone calls, and they see each other a lot, and then it's no good, it doesn't go. And then they try other people, and then they see that it was better before, so they try again to be Mechaya Mason from the first Mahalach, and they go out a second time, that also it doesn't work out. And these are things that already I see Mason Chol Yom. At some point, a person has to come to that frightening Ni'ila of saying goodbye to being a Bacha, you know? Goodbye to being a sweet little, you know, seminary girl. And to becoming a wife, to becoming a husband, a wife. At some point, there is that Ni'ila. And if you're a person who can't shut the gate and get through that painful, scary Ni'ila of an earlier way of living, if you're somebody who can accept that there's something in the world that's called a dating life as opposed to married life, so then you can go on that running and running and escaping and being like a Yonah many, many years You could run away from what you have to do in this world, what you have to be in this world. Because all of us come, as Alana said, not only in tshuva, but all of us come to these times of ni'ila, ila ni'ila, shai shamayim ni'ila sa'azara. And therefore we begin Yom Kippur with the words of Kol Nidre Kulhain, Yom Sharon, Shvikin, Shvisen, Betalen, Mivutalen, Lashavir, Vakayamin. We look back at the last year and we say, Kulain Yain Sharon, Shvikin, Shvisen, all the Nidurim, all of the ways of life that I vowed upon myself, I took upon myself this past year, Shvisen, Shvikin, I'm finished with it. And now, another but beautiful, beautiful story from Rabbi Yoshe Ber and his family. This is also from Isha Halacha, and here's where we cross over and finish the journey for tonight, the journey from Sishpeit, from its late to the time, the Nachzeit, there's still time. Many of you know this. Rabbi Yoshe Ber was describing a ne'ilah that he shared with his father, Rabbi Moshe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I remember how once on Yom Kippur, I went outside into the synagogue courtyard with my father, Rabbi Moshe, just before the ne'ilah service. It had been a fresh, clear day, one of the fine, almost delicate days of summer's end, filled with sunshine and light. Evening was fast approaching, and an exquisite autumn sun was sinking in the west, beyond the trees of the cemetery, into a sea of purple and gold. Rav Moshe, my father, the Ish HaHalacha, the halachic man par excellence, turned to me and said, "This sunset is different from ordinary sunsets. For with it, with this sunset of Yom Kippur, it's not the same as the sun setting every other day of the year. Because with it, meaning with this sunset, forgiveness is bestowed upon us for our sins. With the sunset of Yom Kippur, according to that view that says that with the Shkiyas HaChama, with the sunset of Yom Kippur, that's the kapara of Yom Kippur is with the sunset of Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and the forgiveness of sins merged and blended here with the splendor and beauty of the world and with the hidden lawfulness of the order of creation, and the whole was transformed into one living, holy, cosmic phenomenon." So, Mitzvah Hashem, as we come to Shkia, as we come to the sunset, to Ne'ilah, and the evening arrives, for each and every one of us, there's that opportunity, but only if we go through the terror of death, only if we go through the black despair, and that silent sadness that the Rav spoke about, of feeling the old gates shut closed. When the evening of Monday night comes after Ne'ilah, the evening will be opened with doors, with new sharm of life that's better, of lives that are healthier, of lives that are sweeter, of lives that are holier, of lives that are beautiful, of lives that are lichtig instead of lives that are filled with black despair and darkness. And as we say the Shema Yisrael at the end of Ne'ilah, we scream out Shema Yisrael, the same Shema Yisrael that thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jews screamed out when their lives were about to end. The same Shema Yisrael the Jews screamed out on the way to the gas chamber. The Jews screamed out when they had the presence of mind turning over in a bed the moment before death, confessing their sins and saying Shema Yisrael. That Shema Yisrael, the moment of death, after the Shema Yisrael, we say that Shema Yisrael by Ne'ilah, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim of Mamish, dying of everything that was, is dying, everything is gone, and there's a Ne'ilah Sharm of what was, and all of a sudden you open your eyes and you start to get ready and you start to say Marv, and you say Shema Yisrael. But the Shema Yisrael of Marv is the Shema Yisrael of the Vachnach, of the children standing around the baby's crib, of a newborn baby, of a new Jew, of an after young, of a new person, a Shema Yisrael of a new person.
of a baby just starting out, of a Jew whose life is filled with so much potential, so leibedik, so completely and totally alive. There's time. And that's the joy of Mitzvah Yom Kippur. I saw that there was a Yid. I saw in a Sefer that there was a Jew in Bnei Brak who was making the last Shever Brachis for his youngest child. And he was talking about his life. And he says that when he was younger, he was summoned to come to the Polish army to report for duty in the Polish army, which meant near certain death, physical, spiritual. So like many Jews, there were different ways of trying to avoid the draft. But this was a Polish Chassid, and he ran to his Rebbe, he ran to the Imre Emes, to the Heilige Ger Rebbe. And when he came into the Imre Emes, and he told the Rebbe what happened, what was going on, the Rebbe said, what could I do? The words there in the Sefer, obviously he said in Yiddish, but in the Sefer was Ma'aser. The Imre Emes said, what can I do? Sharei Shamayim Sgur. The gates of heaven are shut. I can't help you. So then he said, I know I shouldn't have done this, because a real chassid wouldn't do this. I ran to the Alexander Rebbe. Now you know that in Poland, that's not so posh, Gear of Alexander. I ran to the Alexander Rebbe. I didn't tell him, you know, that I was by the Rebbe's. So I ran to the Alexander Rebbe, and I gave him the kvittel. I told him the kvittel, I wrote on the kvittel what was. And you know what Alexander said? Again in the Sefer, Ma'ani Yochla says, Hashorim Skurim Lagamre. He had a worse reading than the Imre Emes. It was worse. The Imre Emes only said that it's closed. He said it's in Gunson, finished, closed. There's nothing to do, my friend. That's what Alexander Rebbe said. So the Yid said, he didn't know what else to do at that point. And he said with unbelievable daring and shrewdness, how he did it, he said, he doesn't have time to tell us about us. He managed to get out of Poland, and he got his way with all kinds of crazy and serious nefesh. He left everybody, and he got to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, when I got to Eretz Yisrael, I was able to get married. I was able to open up a store and to make a living. And he said, a few years after that, a short time after that, the doors of Europe shut on my entire family. Everybody was killed, every single one. He said, Vani levadi nosarti. I'm the only one of my family that lived. Not only did I live, he said, but I had children. And now I'm marrying off my youngest one, and we have Enikla. So listen to what this Yid said. Now, he said, at the happiest moment of my life, I want to read to you the exact words. Hayom la'ahakal ha'shamim, ani roya shedavke b'glal sh'ha'shorim ha'yuskurim. I now am able to see, looking back, that davke, because the gates were shut closed, as the two tzaddikim told me, that davke, because they were totally shut. Posach ha'kadosh baruch hu lefanai shar chadash v'nifla. The Baruch Shalom opened up for me a new and wondrous gate. And then he started to cry this evening. He said, Psach lanu shah, ba'ez ne'ilas shah. For all of my family, he said, the Baruch Shalom always helped them. But they should know that sometimes in life, when you think that all the doors are shut, it means that that's exactly when the first real door, that's when the first real door has opened. Dafka, when you think, this is shveit, that it's too late, that's Tavka when you learn, says Dunach Tzai, that just now your time has begun. And then all of a sudden the person realizes this. Each and every one of us comes to understand this and to believe in this. There's no simcha like Motzi Yom Kippur. The greatest, greatest simcha of the year is Motzi Yom Kippur. Now I end with a poem from my favorite poet. This, and I never met her, and I should try to, I guess. This woman, Ruth Lewis, who's written such a magnificent book of poetry, is a
a very choshev woman, obviously. She has a poem in the section of her book that's called Family. The book is out of print. I think, I don't think they did it again, but I think it's out of print. She has a poem that's called After the Bath. I don't know, this past week I'm reading this a lot, the same poem over and over again. My wife and I have gone through all of the poems here and we're always amazed and inspired. Because she relates so well to simple people. After the bath, she writes this. There is something about children after baths. The way the drops cling to their skin, their eyelashes. The way the fluffy towels envelop them. And their hair drips in wet strands. Jumping up and down the bed, showing you how their hands are wrinkled like Bobby's and Zadie's. There is something about children after baths, something fresh, newborn, as if the wondrous gift of them is being given yet again. Ribbono d'Olam kulo, my whole tefillah is for myself, for my family, for us, that we should be nach Yom Kippur, should be after Yom Kippur, like a baby after the bath. That Ribbono, when you look upon each and every one of us, you should feel as if the wondrous gift of our existence has been given to you again. And you should rejoice in us, and we should rejoice in you. That we should be good children, you should treat us like a father treats a child. And that each and every one of us should be zayich as Hashem to that time of avoya sharecha, of navoya sharecha, of coming through the gates of Sharai Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Gula Hashem V'Amitiz, V'Nehem Yemenu Amen, Amen, Gmach, Sina Toiva, Gud Gevenshtim.